Hello, hello, my fellow podcast people. I hope you're doing very, very well on this fine Monday afternoon, or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you're listening to this podcast episode. I'm your host, as per usual, Azrin, the language nerd. You can find me primarily on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube, but also secondarily on TikTok and on Tumblr whenever I feel like posting. My username on all these platforms is exactly the same. It is at Polyglot Azrin. That is spelled P-O-L-Y-G-L-O-T, A-Z or Z, depending on your country, R-E-N. And welcome to another podcast episode. I'm very, very excited, as per usual, to be recording this one here. I have some really good news. I wrote a test in my Mandarin class. It would have been about a week and a bit ago. And for clarity's sake, this was not my Mandarin or my Chinese linguistics test. This was like a Mandarin language test. And I was really happy with the result. I got 91%. Yay! Hallelujah! Celebrate! I'm very, very excited. And to be honest, this school year is not exactly going as I predicted so far. My initial prediction was that the Chinese linguistics class would be really, really easy. And then the Mandarin language class would be easy in some respects and hard in other respects. And so at the beginning of the semester, I was trying to figure out how can I manage to get a decent mark in the language class and then get a really good mark in the linguistics class to balance out the GPA, to balance out the average between the two classes. However, early in the semester, we've now been in class for about 3 weeks, is that right? Three, almost 4 weeks, something like that. And the language class, the Mandarin language class, is going really well. I don't think I've gotten a single thing below 90% yet. Like, I've been nailing it, just cruising through, crushing it, doing amazingly, but the linguistics class has been off to like a bit of a rough start, not the strongest start in the world. I still haven't gotten my mark back from the test that I mentioned multiple times last week and maybe even 2 weeks ago. I still haven't gotten the marks back on that test, but as I said before, my prediction is I probably got about a 70-ish percent, which is not all that fantastic. But at least in one class, I'm crushing it. And to be honest, that is a class that I'm most happy about. And weirdly, the one that surprises me the most. Because me, going into this class, I was very, very worried that I wouldn't be able to write. Because I have not done any physical printing or writing in my 4 years of studying Mandarin. None. Zilch. Nada. Cero. Like, zero, zero, zero. Or maybe a little bit, tiny bit here and there, but basically zero writing. And this class, I decided that I finally will have to do some writing and be able to write adequately to get through the class and kind of start learning. But it's been really weird how quickly memorizing characters and how to write them, it's weird how quickly that's been coming to me. And it kind of plants a bit of a theory in my brain, which is that maybe if you do a lot of reading and you are really strong at reading, and this is specifically for Mandarin, but heck, maybe for other languages too. If you are super duper strong at reading, maybe when you finally choose to do writing, you pick it up quite quickly and quite naturally. I don't know if that's true. I have no research on it. It's just a random thought I've been having based on my personal experience lately. Because like I said, I've not done a lot of Mandarin writing, but when I go to write characters, it's almost like I can picture the character. It's almost like when I write it, I'll be like, oh yeah, that feels familiar. I've seen that. I can figure that out. I can write that. Versus in the early phases when I was learning characters, learning to write or writing characters was so hard. No matter how many times I wrote the characters, no matter what I did, it was incredibly difficult to remember how to write them. And my suspicion, and actually now that I'm talking this out, I have another suspicion. My suspicion is that in the early phases when I was trying to write and it was really difficult, number one, I was trying to remember the character and how to write it, the sound of the character, and the meaning. Nowadays, with the characters I'm writing, I already know the meaning more often than not. Or, even if I don't know the meaning, I can piece it together with context. So I already am very familiar with the meanings. I am able to read those characters already. And so the only thing I'm worrying about is the physical strokes to be able to write them. I'm not worrying about the sounds, not worrying about how to read it, not worrying about the meaning. I have all that down. It's just one element I'm focusing on. And I think that gives me an advantage. And actually, this leads me into an interesting topic when it comes to language learning. I think there can be an incredible amount of value in having tunnel vision when you're learning a language. What I mean by that is there is a lot of value that you can take away from putting all of your attention on a very small element of the language, whether it's writing, whether it's reading, whether it's, you know, speaking, pronunciation, whether it's whatever it is. Putting a large amount of focus on one element of language can be very effective, and you can start to really make some serious progress with that. Sometimes I will see people who will be focusing on various elements of language at the same time, and I think there's an argument to be made to not take that approach and to take an approach where you focus on one element, move to another element, move to another element, move to another element, do one thing at a time. Now, I should jump in here and say, I don't think either strategy is better or worse. I just think that there's two separate strategies that one could take, and I'm realizing this now as I am going more and more through Mandarin. Because when I look at my Mandarin journey, I started off by putting the majority of my focus on speaking, listening, and pronunciation. Those are kind of the major focuses I had. I didn't touch any reading. I was a very poor reader. I was always the weakest reader. I was even weaker at writing, and I never even practiced it, despite failing quizzes, despite people telling me, Azrin, you have to write. I just wouldn't do it. It was not a priority for me. My writing was so bad, I've said this before, that teachers used to make fun of how poor my writing was and how messy my writing was. It was a very common thing. Everybody knew how poorly I wrote and how messy my handwriting was. Then, after that, I kind of switched, and I went into a phase where I went very heavy into reading. I was still doing some speaking and listening, but I would say the primary focus, a very heavy focus, was reading. Because I was in China, and there was a very practical element to being able to read. I could read signs, I could read menus. It was easy to know in restaurants what I can eat, what I can't eat. So I started to put a little bit of a heavier emphasis on the reading. And then I was able to move forward relatively quickly in that respect. And now we're on writing. And I find, again, I'm making very quick progress because a significant percentage of my energy is on the writing side of things. So it's something for you guys to think about, something for the language learners out there, language enthusiasts out there to ponder and think about and maybe even play with to see how that works for you. Experiment with it. Maybe you guys can be my guinea pigs. Let me know if that's something that works for you, doesn't work. Give it a try, experiment with it. Because like I said, right at the beginning of this conversation, this is just a theory I have based on my own personal experience. I actually have no idea if this is true for the masses or not. Now, the main thing I want to talk about, I have a couple main topics that I'm going to cycle through in this podcast. The first one has to do with zoos and jungles. It sounds weird, but I promise there's a language learning connection. I made a YouTube video about this actually, so potentially, depending on when this podcast goes up, either you may have watched the YouTube video already on this particular segment of the podcast, or potentially not. We'll kind of see how the timing goes out. But I think a lot of people learn languages as if they're in a zoo. They learn in isolated environments. They control their environment. They use a textbook. They take a class. They follow a program within the comfort of their home. And they're only using strategies that do not push their comfort zone. This could be reading textbooks, like I said. This could be taking a class that goes at a very slow pace. This could be using applications. This could be a variety of different, let's call them sit-down strategies. Strategies where you're sitting on your butt and you are learning, listening to podcasts, using apps, etc. These are fantastic strategies, by the way. I have nothing against them. I use them a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. However, here's the thing. I find that sometimes people have this challenge. When they've been studying in a classroom or they've been using apps, or they've been doing a podcast program, or a study, a teach yourself program, and they've done that for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and suddenly they jump into an experience where they have to speak with a native speaker, sometimes many people struggle, because I guess the analogy here is that speaking with the native speaker, or speaking with another speaker, or putting yourself in an environment where you have to apply your skills, that is like going to the jungle when you've been living in the zoo your whole life. Have you heard of that? Animals that are brought up in a zoo, if they release them back into the jungle, they like die very quickly. They don't survive because they don't have the skills required to do so. Well, this works in languages the same way. And so one thing I've been thinking about is actually two things I've been thinking about is, one, I need to bring the jungle into my classroom. What I mean by that is, when I teach lessons, I need to bring more jungle elements into my classes to help my students prepare for that jungle environment, to help them prepare for the environment when they're speaking with a real native speaker, when they are when they are in an environment where they have to actually apply their language skills, and it's not simply a matter of practicing in the classroom or executing in the classroom. That's the first thing on my mind. The second thing on my mind has to do more with the fact that I think people, when they're learning languages, you have to, while you're learning, try to figure out how can you give yourself mini tests, put yourself in mini scenarios where you have to apply your languages while you are doing your own teach yourself programs, your classroom study, your apps, your podcast listening, your video watching, your whatever you're doing. While you're doing your sit down strategies for most of the time, which is beautiful, keep doing it. What can you add in that occasionally starts to prepare you for the real world of applying your languages in a real world setting? That's kind of something I think people have to start thinking about and have to start pondering. I think the other language learning topic here, and this is getting a little bit philosophical, and I think this applies to life in general. I actually made an Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, for that matter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook post about this yesterday night at 11 p.m. Some of you may have already seen it, but I want to go into it on the podcast and even go a little deeper maybe to bring some extra value for you guys. Life is this big balancing act. I've said that before. And language learning is also a big balancing act. There's always something that's not going your way. There's always something that's difficult. There's always something that's challenging you. In languages, I can give some personal examples. Let's go to Mandarin. I used to be, my something, the quote unquote something that was hard for me, was writing and reading. That was really hard. Then I figured out a lot of the reading side, and all of a sudden the new something was being able to write all of a sudden, right? That was kind of the next something I had to work on. Now I'm making a lot of progress on the writing, but I found that in my conversations, I'm not able to speak as fluently or as quickly as I'd like. I can't get the words out of my mouth. I freeze up and I don't know why. And it's a weird thing that I'm trying to work on. That's my new something. As I work through that challenge, guess what? There's going to be another challenge. There's always something. In my personal life, I've had this experience as well recently. A couple of weeks ago, I might have even said it on the podcast, but a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking to myself that I wasn't spending enough time with my mom and my sister. I was working a little bit too much for my liking, and I wasn't spending the quality time or spending time with them as I would like to be doing. And so I've changed that. Now I think I'm doing a much better job with that, a much better job. It's not perfect, but I've really made some good progress. But here's the thing. Now I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of things I should be doing to help my sister with her health that I'm not doing. Now, for clarity's sake, my sister's health is very good. She's in very good health overall, but there are some certain things that I could be doing to help out some more. My sister has some minor scoliosis, I'm not sure if she's actually diagnosed with scoliosis or if she has some scoliosis type tendencies in her back. And her neck, they're very tight. You can see it sometimes when she's sitting. You're like, wow, your back is really crunched up. And she goes for massages and she does different things to help with it. But one thing I could do at home, and I've thought about this in the past, is I should be absolutely taking 8 minutes a day and massaging her back and helping to work out some of the kinks. I used to do it in the past, and the massage therapist even noticed that, wow, her back is doing a lot better. But I'm not doing it right now. And so I'm thinking to myself, damn it, that's one thing I should definitely be doing. There are other things as well that I was thinking, that are not difficult for me to do, but I need to start figuring that out and hacking at it. That's my current something in my personal life. And there's millions of these. It's an infinite number throughout our whole lives until the end of time. Every single one of us are going to be facing these quote unquote somethings, these quote unquote challenges, these things that are going to be difficult for us. And the thing is, I find a lot of people try to avoid them. You know, in life, whether they try to avoid it by always going to the club, always drinking, always partying, running away from the challenges, whether it be trying to travel all the time and physically get away from things, whether it be, you know, watching hours and hours of Netflix and things like that to escape, whether it's, there's a million and one ways people do it. Our phones, right? Gaming. Escapism isn't bad, but sometimes when we're trying to escape too much, it's not good. In a language learning sense, we escape by not putting ourselves out there and practicing with native speakers. We do it by only learning from the comfort of our home. We do it by, you know, if we're scared of something with languages, we don't do it. We're scared of those challenges, the things that are difficult for us, which is a human trait. I think it is anyway, if I feel like it is. And it's hard to push through those and everything. I really understand it because I go through that myself. We all do, 100% of us. But I think a truth, right? And I know this is difficult because for me, it's hard too. And I struggle with it and I don't know, I'm not always successful with it, but I try and I hope other people try too. And it's with trying to look forward to the challenges, trying to welcome the challenges, trying to enjoy the process of working through those challenges. Because if we're trying to run away from those challenges in languages and in life, I think it applies to both. If we're trying to run away or avoid them or hide from them or whatever it is, the problem is that the way life works and the way language learning works, there's an infinite number of challenges. Even when you're super advanced in French and Spanish, like I am, I'm very, very strong in those languages, there's still infinite challenges. That's how it works. For me, a challenge in French and Spanish is recording podcasts in the same clarity that I can in English and with the same kinds of ideas as I can in English, right? It's kind of, those are kind of the concepts, and it's kind of like difficult. It's hard, right? In English, I have a certain style of speech. I know how to make a podcast in a way that captivates many listeners, that can make you feel certain ways, that expresses my thoughts and makes sense and has an energy to it and doesn't have too many ums and uhs and pauses. And I've got a much more wide or expansive vocabulary in English. I have a lot more practice. But in French and Spanish, that's more difficult for me. It's just the truth. And I haven't found that right cadence because I don't do it regularly enough. And so that's my something in French and Spanish, one of many somethings, right? On and on and on and on and on. I think it's just something we need to try and look forward to. We need to try and work on them and try to, as much as possible, to enjoy the process. Anyway, I need to call someone in about 10 minutes. And before that 10 minutes happens, I need to actually drive somewhere. So I need to literally hop in my car and get it started and leave my house right now. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate your attention. You guys rock. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye for now. See you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.